Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome back here to our show on this now Thursday morning, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's Thursday morning here at the El Pacifico. It's been Thursday morning, I suspect, most of the places where we are heard across the country. But here we are a few minutes after midnight on the West Coast, and we're with you every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're very happy to have you with us. We do suggest that if you want to get the full Phil Hendry experience, watching us on our videocast is something. You can watch me turn into a complete animal when things go wrong. You can watch me act like a complete ass, and it's always exciting. We call it a reality show that's wrapped around a radio show. Phil TV and HD at philhendryshow.com. It's quite the it's quite the experience for you. It's quite embarrassing for me.
You don't care, though.
Yes, I do care.
You care? You act like an ass?
Yes, I care. I feel bad about it for, you know, a few minutes. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, we have some news to get to. This is a story that I meant to mention yesterday. It's local to California, but it's universal. The Secret Service is investigating a former local city council candidate accused of making threats against President Obama. Now, this is not just a story about dumb, folks. This is a story about modern dumb. This is a story about, we've got dumb, and we've had dumb for years. Only an idiot would openly threaten the President of the United States because it's a federal offense. It's a federal offense. But a real world-class idiot, a guy who is a whole new level of idiot, a new species of idiot, would do it on Facebook. And that's what we have today in the modern world. And I'm telling you, I said to Dan, I love Facebook for one reason and one reason only, man. It's a dumbass catcher. It's like a dumbass screen, man. It's like a lint screen for idiots. Some of the stupidest people in the world go on Facebook openly and publicly and make comments that, you've seen it. You've seen the stories. I don't need to recount it. Here's a guy that is a former candidate for city council in this little town in Southern California, but he goes on Facebook, and this guy, I don't know where he was raised, obviously not by human beings. He is a 48-year-old man by the name of Jules Manson. He was a 2011 Carson City Council candidate. He threatened the president on his Facebook page when he wrote, "Assassinate the effing N-word and his monkey children." Manson made the comment Sunday on a post about the president signing the National Defense Authorization Act, a federal law enacted for each of the past 48 years to specify the budget of the U.S. Department of Defense. Manson believes the law removes the constitutional right of citizens in the name of fighting terrorism. Well, everything does now, doesn't it? Everything that we sign into law now is stripping away our rights, isn't it? Isn't that what we're supposed to believe? You know, in order to make me believe something, I don't consider myself to be the brightest guy in the world, but people are going to have to come with something a little bit brighter than the crap that I see. People are telling me that this is unconstitutional, that that's stripping away our rights, that this is stripping away our rights, that everything has just been stripped away, that we have no rights now, we have never had any rights. And I'm sorry, I'm not convinced, and I haven't been convinced, and it's going to take a hell of a lot more than some, even somebody on the Huffington Post, which is light, in terms of intelligence, is light years past Jules Manson of Carson, California. Even those idiots haven't made any case that's even remotely convincing. And of course, now they have the double whammy, because back in the day when Bush was president, they had to, they were just delighting in the fact that our constitutional rights were being stripped away. They could report on it and make, Bush look like a jackball,
Not now they're Obama fans.
And now they're Obama fans, and so it's a little tougher to, come on the blog there. Anyway.
Yeah, well, whatever, man. Tell me about this guy.
All right, I'm sorry.
You're getting off half-cocked on what's a... Tell me about the guy that's got Jules Manson.
All right, but Jules Manson anyway. What do you mean, whatever?
Whatever.
Anyway, Manson made the comment Sunday in a post about the president, blah, blah, blah. His comment about Obama was reposted on several blogs, quickly sparking outrage. Manson's now apologizing for the posting, saying he has no intention of harming Obama or his family. No, not at all. I believe him. But I do. I honestly believe him. I think that these people, either they don't know how Facebook works, or they don't quite get the reach that Facebook has. But if you go on Facebook and you make a comment like that, if you go on the on a news feed on Facebook, you make a comment like that, or Twitter, you are potentially being seen by hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. And
well, not if only you got only like 400 friends or something.
Well, no, because you have a chance. You have an option. You could be.
Yeah, you got the option. You could say friend or public.
What?
There's an option thing now, man. It says, do you want this to be seen by your friends or do you want it to be seen by the public? Okay. I mean, I could go over if I could get to my Facebook page, which I don't think I can. I could show people, but that's the option, okay? So if you want it just to be seen by your friends, then you specify friends. If you want the public to see it, which is people that are people that are not friends, then you put public. And which is generally what I put when I post an update on our Facebook page about what we did on the show. I put it there for the public, you know.
Yeah, but then any douchebag can make a comment.
I don't think so. I'm not sure that that's true. But one thing I do know, that when I'm on Facebook and I'm making comments, I know exactly what it is I'm saying. I assume that it's going to be seen by a lot of people. I don't say a lot of stupid stuff. I mean, I may say stupid stuff in the minds of some people. But as far as I'm concerned, it's at least it's acceptable enough whereby I'm not threatening the president or calling anybody a monkey or any of this stuff. Hold on, man. I'm trying to.
What are you doing?
I'm just trying to log in here so I can show people on Phil TV at least what this Facebook feed looks like, because they've changed it. They've changed it, and they've changed it into something. That's a lot more, you know what, I don't really want to mess with it. I can do it when we get back. But they've changed it to something that's a lot more involved, okay? Point being, I don't care if they changed it into something more involved. I don't care if they kept it the same. I don't care if it was a Christmas tree or if it looked like a rabbit patch or something. You can't be so dopey as to say stuff like this. Now, this guy said the Secret Service came to his house on Monday and searched his car and residence. They also interviewed him and his family members. Boy, nice going, man. You embarrass your family, you have your home searched, because you got a big stupid mouth on you. He called the John and Ken show on KFI on Tuesday to defend himself. I have no connection with any radical group, he said. I never intended to harm anyone in the world, and now I'm world famous and world hated. You should see the comments on my Facebook page. Oh my goodness. Hey, pal, look what you wrote, man. You got to learn to count to 10 before you start posting things, one of the hosts responded. Manson quipped back, I have to count to more like 1,000 because I was enraged for a few hours. Well, Jack. Manson ran for Carson City Council in March as a libertarian. He finished last out of the five candidates running for the two available seats. During his campaign, he attacked what he called the city's fascist policies. Fascist policy? And then you're talking like a fascist.
Why? Why are you talking like a fascist?
I don't know, man. I was thinking more in terms of Nazis. You know, they have that, they got a hang up with people of in the inferior race. I realize that fascist is not, okay. I'm not going to explain it, no, but. All right, we'll be right back. Our number 877-876 Phil. We'll be back here at our News and Information Hour on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth we have, is our bitch. The
Winter
Phil
Solstice.
Henry Show.
More druids. World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here. Our News and Information Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard.
I've seen on your Facebook page that one guy post something.
Yeah, he says, hi in real time. Samuel Sullivan posted in real time on our Facebook feed, which we had here on Phil TV. We have it up. And I suppose, okay, Samuel, you don't have to go nuts with your comments now. Samuel's just going ape. He says, yes.
Yeah, but it's pretty exciting.
Okay. Yes, it is. Thanks, Samuel. Now, to show people what I'm talking about, you know, this jackass from Carson, who Dan just pointed out in the break, which is very true, this jackball, not only does he say what he says about Obama and his children and threatens the life of the President of the United States, he then goes on to John and Ken's show on Tuesday and talks about it some more. And I got news for you, Jules. Dude, nobody tells me that they're just, oh, well, you know, I didn't intend that. You know, anybody that has those kinds of thoughts and those feelings, anybody that uses the N-word, you're nothing but some, you're just flatland trash, Jack. Just flatland trash. So don't worry about it.
What's flatland?
Anything that ain't the San Gabriel Valley or the San Fernando Valley, just the flatlands down there, Carson. You know, and I don't mean anything against Carson, but it is flatland.
Yeah, it is pretty flatland.
Right. All right, so when you go on Facebook, you can make these posts. Now, you know, you can see here where this is a little tab that I was going to show you. You say, do you want it to be public? Or here's like, Phil shared a link. Public. Or I can make it friends, only me, custom. Whatever you make it, that's what people are going to see. And perhaps this jackass made it public. I don't know what he did with it. But it's quite obvious to me that he's a jackball and should never be allowed to foul the air of other humans again. Okay. One other piece of news here that was, and then we'll move on to, because I've got the story that was at least part the inspiration of having Dean Wheeler on the show tonight. Winter solstice, the cold weather celebration is hot again. Now, this is a gas because they've got pictures of some druids here. And I don't know if they're druids, but the one guy's got a robe and the whole thing. And it looks like it's England, because doesn't that look like Stonehenge?
Yeah, it looks like those big rocks they use, what the witches use.
Yeah, it's called Stonehenge.
What?
Stonehenge, man.
Yeah, like in Spinal Tap.
Right, like in Spinal Tap, when the dwarves trot on the... Anyway, winter solstice is a busy time of year for a Wiccan priestess, especially now when solstice traditions... Oh, you know what? I got a... God, the freaking thing didn't print right. When the traditions call for it, I need to get this story, which is not printed properly. The winter solstice, which represents, traditionally it represents the longest day of the year, excuse me, the shortest day of the year, I beg your pardon, the shortest day of the year, has been, in recent days, and I say recent days, maybe within the last, 100 years or so, has been viewed as a particularly spiritual time for Wiccans. Now, Wiccans are, or Druids, or whatever the hell you want to call them, pagans, these are people who celebrate that pre-Christian religion. Before there was Christianity, what did people worship? They worshipped whatever the hell it was that they worshipped. You know, they worshipped...
They worshipped, like, the demons and stuff.
Well, now, they didn't worship demons. They worshipped, you know... wacky stuff, man. You know?
What do you mean?
I don't know. The sun, the moon, the stars, jazz like that. Let me see, man. The winter solstice is the time when the arrival of the sun... I've got two stories here. Well, this isn't even about Wicca. It's just about the winter solstice. Today is the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. The time of the actual astronomical event was 10:30 p.m. Wednesday. The solstice is caused by the Earth's tilt on its axis and its motion in orbit around the sun. The word solstice comes from the Latin, which means sol, blah, 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 blah. The solstice marks the beginning of winter. Ironically, it also signals the return of the light that's been dwindling since the summer solstice in June. And that's the longest day of the year. The light dwindles down to the shortest day of the year. But the good news is, now the days are going to get longer.
In other words, it's gonna they ain't going to be shorter anymore.
Exactly. They're not going to be as short as they were. That's the winter solstice. But the story that I was looking for, and I apologize, folks, that I'm hemming and hawing here, I was looking for the story on the Druids, and I completely lost it because, This was a story that had to do with the religion, but now all I got here are stories about the... God, that bothers me. Winter solstice such as in the dark. Winter solstice sans weather. Winter solstice. Now, there's cold weather celebration is hot again. I thought I could find this. Oh, here it is. Finally, thank God. Our printer is just not making it. The winter solstice is a busy time of year for a Wiccan priestess, especially now when solstice traditions, observed even in ancient times, are hot once more. Of course they are observed in ancient times. That's what they observed in ancient times. People are celebrating the solstice more than ever in recent memory, said Selena Fox, who isn't just any Wiccan priestess. She's a psychotherapist and the founder of Wisconsin's Circle Sanctuary, a nonprofit Wiccan church, and according to its website, a 200-acre nature preserve.
What are you doing over there?
What do you mean?
Probably run around naked.
Yeah, isn't that what they do?
I don't know what they do.
But you got a nature preserve, you're Wiccan. You probably run around naked. And celebrate, you know, all being nude and everything. That's what they do.
Well, what do you mean celebrate being nude? What does that mean?
Well, they.
No, I'm asking Robert. What does that mean?
I mean, if you're Wiccan, then you believe in
you believe in the earth.
Yeah, you believe in the earth, and you gotta be nude. You have no alternative.
You got no alternative to be nude if you celebrate the earth. If you're Wiccan. Okay, thank you.
Well, you're making me sound stupid, man. You know what I'm saying.
No, I don't know what you're saying. All I know is it says they got a 200-acre preserve, a nature preserve.
That's where they go nude.
Why do you guys have this thing about nude? Just because they're Wiccan? Why?
Because they have sex, and that's what they do to celebrate.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, cool. Boy, you two guys together, man, you're a regular college bowl.
Whatever.
Yeah. The solstice occurs twice a year when the sun's position in the sky is yada, yada, yada. Solstice is widely celebrated today by Wiccas, Druids, heathens, and other heathens. Is there such a thing?
Yeah, probably.
What is that, a subset of... It sounds like we're back in Middle Earth here. We got Druids, we got your Wiccans, we got heathens and other pagans by indigenous peoples practicing traditional ways in Africa, Asia, Polynesia, Australia, Europe, and the Americas, by environmentalists and astronomers, by secular humanists and free thinkers, by eco-Christians and those of other religions and philosophies. Fox, who is this psychotherapist, how'd you like to go to a psychotherapist and find out she's like a Wiccan or something?
Yeah, that I don't know.
You know, that would kind of, I don't know, that she would probably... Now, I'd like you to know that, welcome, I'm Dr. Fidget, and I'm here to figure out what's wrong with your marriage, Phil. I understand that you have neurosis, and you're trying to quit smoking.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I need to tell you that I'm a Wiccan.
Okay.
So, you just, you know, occasionally during our sessions, I'll have to light some incense, or...
Is it part of the religion?
No, I might fart. So,
All right, grow up.
Humankind has been observing solstice for thousands of years, says Fox. Yeah, I get it about the solstice. I wanted to know more about you nuts. When it comes to winter solstice celebrations, we're talking old. Even thousands of years ago, Fox said, there was an awareness among humans about the rhythms of nature and the cyclic nature of these rhythms to the point that these amazing sites were constructed. Such sites include Stonehenge in Britain, as well as the New Grange in Ireland, and the Old Grange and LaGrange, which ZZ Top had visited.
Really?
No, not really. It's believed that primary axes of Stonehenge are aligned on sight lines pointing to the winter solstice sunset. For New Grange, it's sunrise. Okay. So there you have it.
It's a bunch of astronomy.
Pretty much a bunch of astronomy, but their religion was in those days, because people didn't really get it. You know, it was around, religion was about nature. And I shouldn't say that because people didn't get it. I mean, you know, today, I'm sure people have the same sense that, you know, nature is somehow a very spiritual or religious thing.
What do you think?
I don't know, man. To me, nature is cool. I dig it. You know, if it was another time and another place and another life, and I was sitting on the edge of a cliff and it was the stars and I was, you know, a whole different other person smoking a big fat blunt, maybe, just maybe, you know.
You get religion.
I get religion, yeah. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. China is blasting Christian Bale because he visited an activist while he was in China, and the Chinese think that that was rude and jacked up and all kinds of stuff. Plus, an accountant has quit on an heiress's estate. Apparently, he underpaid her taxes by tens of millions of dollars. This is an interesting story. And Floyd Mayweather gets 90 days in jail for domestic violence and harassment. Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, I think that's an interesting question. We were just talking during a break. Where is their full-service gas? We got onto the whole idea of full-service gas and just the whole idea of pumping your own gas, the way that the laws are different from state to state, you know?
Yeah, well, Dave, you said they make you pump your own gas in Oregon?
They make you pump your own gas in Oregon, exactly. And you said where everybody else, like California, you can't find a place where they'll pump. I can't. And not that I'm looking for it. I've stopped looking for it. I don't know if I've looked for a full service gas station in years, man. I mean, it's got to be 20 years since I thought I would, you know, regularly look for a full service gas station. But I don't know where they are. And I wonder if they still exist. You been to one, Robert?
No, I ain't seen one, man. Everywhere you gotta go, you gotta pump your own gas.
Yeah, they don't even have no mechanics.
They don't have mechanics. Oh, forget it. I mean, they do. The odd station still exists where there's a mechanic. There's still the neighborhood mechanics. I've seen them. But more and more stations, especially if they are at a major crossroad where the company, the franchisor, such as... Oh, who you know, Standard or Mobil or Union 76 or whoever, Esso, I don't know.
What's Esso?
That's like BP. There are different companies around the country, different places. They will say, well, we're not making any money with a mechanic. We need to put in a store, you know.
Yeah, well, mostly what you want to get, a donut. I mean, like 2 o'clock in the morning, I want to get gas, I want to get a donut.
Yeah, either get a donut or you probably want to get a chips and some squeeze cheese or something like that.
You got to be kidding me, man. I wouldn't eat that. I wouldn't eat that with your mouth.
Are you high? You're high at a mixture of chemicals. Squeeze cheese is the best.
Squeeze cheese. Get out of here. I wouldn't eat that, man. I agree with Robert. I wouldn't eat it with your mouth.
What?
That stuff, that cheese you pump, get out of here. You're telling me you're going to go into those places, man. I'll tell you what I'm going to buy. It's something that's packaged. I ain't buying any hot dogs.
Why not?
I'm just not doing it, man. I'm just not doing it. Okay? If I want to get some food, hot food, I draw the line at the gas station. Excuse me.
Well, what do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean? I draw the line. If I want hot food, if I want a hot sandwich, if I want a hamburger, you know, like that kind of thing, I'll go to a hamburger joint, man. I ain't going to the Mobil snack shop. Thank you very much.
You know, you think that food is going to give you the runs?
You probably think it'll give you the squirts.
Well, whatever, bud. You know, the point that I'm making, though, is if I'm going to go into that joint to get something to eat, and I have, not that I eat this stuff anymore, but there was a time when I'd go and get potato chips.
What about beer?
I don't know, man. Do they even sell beer in those places?
Yeah.
They do? Because they didn't used to. They stopped selling. They didn't want to sell booze to people in their cars. They just... And I maybe I'm thinking of a different state now. Excuse me for coughing, folks. I have this... it's like an allergy or something. But I ain't going to do that. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that most gas stations now are... I would dare say the majority of them now are gas and food. Gas and food. Gas and food. Forget it. What do you want, a mechanic? You either got to go find your own mechanic. You got to go back to the dealer to get it fixed. You may find a local neighborhood mechanic that you've known for many, many years. Back, you know, when I was growing up, it was the guy at the gas station. You took your car down to a reliable guy you knew at the gas station. He would fix it for you. He'd get the parts in. He'd do this. He'd do that. Then you started taking it to the dealer. it ain't happening that way anymore. You know, and then as far as the full serve thing goes.
Well, what do you mean by full serve?
You don't know what full serve is.
No, you don't know. You're too young.
Full serve? Are you kidding, bud?
Uh-uh.
Full serve is when you would pull into a gas station and a guy would come out and he'd say, yes, sir, what would you like? I'd like you to fill up the gas tank, check the oil. You know, you'd have him actually do a fluid check on the engine. You would...
You're kidding me.
No, man, that's, they used to do that kind of thing, see? But now they don't do it anymore because people don't want to waste that kind of time. They and it costs money to keep a guy on to do that. You'd rather have them either, you know, as a mechanic or not. So they decided to you know, opt out of that kind of thing. And then they'd have them just working straight through as a mechanic. Now, of course, you can go into some of those joints. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. That mechanic, some of these guys work all night, by the way, the mechanics.
Yeah, I've seen one guy on Westlake Boulevard does that.
Yeah, they got that mobile station. That guy is a mechanic. He's working all night. But if you go in there and you go to get, like, I don't know, a candy bar or, you know, back when I smoked, we got a pack of cigarettes, that guy would come out of the lube bay and he'd be working the shop.
Then why don't I have that guy do the gas?
Because they don't want to, man. They don't want to. You know, it's not secure. There's a lot of different things that's the reason why they don't do that. All right, so, yeah, that was full service. It cost more. They don't do it anymore. Not around here, anyway. All right, so here's the story I was going to tell you. There's an accountant facing questions about his handling of the fortune of a reclusive copper mining heiress. Now, dig this. He has resigned from administering her estate as a New York City official said the accountant and a lawyer underpaid her taxes by tens of millions of dollars. Now, the accountant is named Irving Kamsler, and he resigned on Tuesday as an executor of the heiress Huguette Clark.
What?
Well, how do you pronounce that?
Huguette. Let me see. Huguette.
Well, obviously you guys don't know and you're screwing around. How do you pronounce that?
I don't know.
Huguette. What kind of wild thing?
There's a lot of black women that's named stuff just as weird, so don't make a big deal out of it.
What are you talking about, man? That about Huguette? I don't know one sister named Huguette.
Yeah, but there's one named Sizzaline.
Shut up! All right! I mean, Sizzaline. Huguette. Huguett. I don't know. Maybe her parents were some rich... I was going to say Krauts. German. No, yeah. Anyway, Huguette Clark. She's got a $400 million estate. Lawyers for the estate said in a letter, it also noted that the official was about to ask a court to strip Mr. Kamsler and the lawyer, Wallace Bach, from managing the estate. Mr. Kamsler and Mr. Bach, who were paid thousands of dollars a month for responsibilities that included dealing with Ms. Clark's taxes, had let $90 million in unpaid federal gift taxes and penalties accrue by early this year, according to a probate court filing on Tuesday. The administrator believes, I love this story, it's in the New York Times. You know, these are the things that happen. This is like the old money, man, in New York. I love it. You know, this is not the nouveau riche of Hollywood or the West Coast. Some jackball had made his money in real estate. Some guy that got all of his bread together in a media company. Or this is copper mining money, baby. This is old money. You know.
What like going way back, huh?
Oh, yeah, man, sure. I saw a thing on TV the other day. It was really interesting. It was the DuPonts. You know what that is?
Yeah, they make a paint.
They do a lot of stuff, man. They make paint. They make chemicals. Oh, baby. The DuPont family goes all the way back to the turn of the 19th century, 1803. The very first DuPont guy was some guy. I don't know what the hell his name was. Let's just call him Joe Blow DuPont, okay?
What's his name?
I'm just saying. I'm making one up. Joe Blow DuPont.
I'll look it up.
Don't look up Joe Blow. I said I'm making it up.
Oh.
God. Anyway, this guy made his initial offer. He made his initial money like a lot of these guys made their initial money. Like old man Astor. You know the Astors? You know, you've heard that name, right?
Yeah, New York.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, Lady Astor, all that crap. Well, the original Astor, a guy who was a German immigrant, I think, he made his money, and so did DuPont, on furs, on bear skins, animal skins. These guys would go to the Northwest and they would make deals with trappers, and you name it, man. These guys would go up into the wild and shoot bear, come back with thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of very, very valuable animal skins that got shipped back east and were made into God knows what, you know, ladies' furs, et cetera, et cetera. You know, they turned a lot of money in, you know, thousands of dollars worth of this, of these animal furs into millions of dollars. Well, DuPont made so much money that today his heirs, I mean, you can imagine how much money a guy makes that it feeds generation after generation after generation of family members. And they were talking about that John DuPont. You guys don't remember the story. This guy was a freaking mental case that went nuts. He shot some wrestling coach.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. And he was living with his mother. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. And they're a little, you know, one of them, this guy anyway, was kooky. But it's all this old bread. And the DuPonts are Easterners. They're Pennsylvanians. They're not New Yorkers. Astor, the guy that made the money, Jacob Astor and Lady Astor and all of these Astors, he made his money on furs. And then he did one of the smartest things, well, that you could possibly do. He bought up Bowery Real Estate. Now, this is back before the Bowery was anything like it became. Today, you know, and in succeeding years, became a huge commercial real estate area. So Astor bought this land up, began to sublease these plots, and made a fortune. And then, of course, the family continued to make this money. All that old money back east, man, it goes back hundreds of years. Now you have this lady named Hugot, or whatever the hell.
Hugot.
Exactly. And she's got copper mining bread.
What you doing in New York making copper mining?
Well, just because she's got copper mining bread doesn't mean she's got to live in Denver, man. Maybe she likes to live in New York, you know. Anyway, the administrator believes this wrongful conduct, now this is an accountant and a lawyer that were underpaying this woman's taxes and essentially getting her into hot water with the federals. He believes this wrongful conduct is just the tip of the iceberg, the administrator's lawyer, David R. Gelfin and Peter Schramm, wrote. Mr. Kamsler and Mr. Bach deny any wrongdoing in their dealings with Ms. Clark. Their entire decades-long handling of her affairs was an ongoing effort to protect and preserve her chosen lifestyle, and on her explicit instructions, said John Dedakis, a lawyer representing them. The public administrator's accusations add to a swirl of uncertainty surrounding the life and estate of Ms. Clark, a senator's daughter who owned the largest residence on Fifth Avenue and mansions in California and Connecticut, but chose to live for decades in hospitals. What?
Yeah.
She was 104 when she died in May. Whoa.
Man, that's way out there. She lived in a hospital.
She chose to live in hospitals. She was 104. What's so weird about that? If I was 104, I'd choose to live in a hospital, too.
Why?
Because, dude, if I'm 104, I don't know, if I fall down, man, if anybody's going to find me, you know? Might as well live in a hospital. Wow, that's... I'm going to have to look up Clark. She was a senator's daughter, huh? And she owned the largest residence on Fifth Avenue and mansions in California, Connecticut. All right, we'll be right back with the answers to these and many other questions, and maybe not. Maybe we'll answer some questions, maybe we won't. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our News and Information Hour with Bud and Robert. Don't forget, after the show, check our website for our show log. It tells you everything you missed or everything that you endured on philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We actually on the what are we on here, Bud?
Called the Business Insider. Got a picture of our house and everything.
There's a picture here on Phil TV and HD of the 104-year-old Huger. We're figuring that's her name.
Yeah, well, you don't know that. That's what Dan said.
Sounds good to me, though. 104-year-old reclusive heiress Huger Clark leaves behind an amazing real estate portfolio. Here's a picture of her superimposed over her Santa Barbara mansion, which is quite an impressive mansion. You can't really tell too much of it. Click here to see the real estate she left behind. Now, here's a woman, folks, who was 104. She became reclusive after 1930. So, in other words, she was born in 1906. That means at the age of 24, she essentially became a recluse. According to her biography, she was married just once for 2 years between 1928 and 1930. If this lady lived in some run-down, like, raccoon-infested toilet, I'd think this was Grey Gardens all over again.
What's that?
Those are those two really whacked-out ladies they made that documentary about. If you want to do yourself a favor and you want to see this movie, Grey, don't see the Jessica Lange. And I'm not saying that Jessica Lange and Drew Barrymore aren't great actresses. They're phenomenal. They're fantastic. I love both of them. But you can't ask them to beat out the documentary. The documentary is gold. I mean, why look at a theatrical rendition when you can actually see the two of them? I mean, it was goofy, you know.
Like, what'd they do?
You never saw this? Oh my God. These two women, I don't know their names. I don't want to get into a whole thing. And I'm not comparing this Hoojay Clark to them. Here's an aerial view of her. What the hell is this?
I think that's Santa Barbara there. Got 12,000 square feet.
Okay. What do you got to yell everything for, bud?
Just so you know.
All right, you're like standing right next to me. Anyway, these two gals, there's the Santa Barbara. Boy, she's got some nice pads, man. All right, so these two women are living in a house that was originally owned by the father and the mother. Well, the father deserted. Now who's living in the house? The mother and the daughter. Both of these women related to the Jacqueline Bouvier side of the family, the first lady who was married to John Kennedy, Jackie Kennedy. They were relatives of hers. The house gradually became run down. The house began to fall apart, but neither one of these women really cared. The handyman that they had working for them, he passed on sometime in the 60s, and they never did hire a new one. So by the time the two filmmakers found these two women, and by the way, they were the two guys that made Gimme Shelter, the Rolling Stone. What was the name of those guys? The Mays Brothers?
Yeah, I got to look that up. I think you're right.
These two brothers that made Gimme Shelter, the Altamont, the Rolling Stone Altamont concert where the Hells Angels, there was this controversy about the Hells Angels being there. These guys find these two women. They make a movie called Grey Gardens. And in this film, you see them living in what is now a very run-down, dilapidated mansion. There are raccoons living in the walls that they feed.
Are you kidding me, man?
I'm not kidding you. No, they're feeding raccoons. Everything is overgrown. And both women are, you want to say they're crazy, but they're not. Because after the mother died, the younger woman, who is at this point in the movie, is in her late 40s, maybe early 50s, she moved to Bell Harbor, Florida. I think she first moved to New York, then to Bell Harbor, Florida, and wasn't crazy at all. She lived a life, and they're these very eccentric women. And in this movie, they're playing martial music, and they're marching around the house with batons. They're serving their friends who come for a birthday celebration, and their friends are shocked at the kitchen where they're sitting them down to eat. They're drinking wine out of a screw cap bottle. The whole thing is nuts. So anyway, make a long story short, when the movie comes out, Jacqueline Kennedy, who by this time is married to Aristotle Onassis, it's the mid-70s, she sees it, and she pays to have the house fixed up and have the garbage hauled away. It apparently cost $40,000 to haul the garbage out of this house.
Well, I mean, why do you say they're not nuts?
I base that on one thing and one thing only. If they were nuts, I don't know about the mother, she died. But when the mother died, the younger woman, and I wish I remember their names, she moved on her own to New York City, where she, I believe, had some kind of a career in a nightclub, and then moved to Bell Harbor, Florida, where she stayed for the remainder of her life. This is a woman that lived on her own. This is a woman that negotiated and navigated life very well, lived in nice residences, had money, and did not, didn't need any taking care of or looking after, wasn't involved in any violation of the law, wasn't harming herself or others. She wasn't crazy. She's just eccentric.
Yeah, but you got to be crazy, man. You're living around a raccoon.
Well, you know something, man? I don't know if you're crazy or you just are like, whatever. You know, they're raccoons and this is how I choose to live. But the thing that was really way out there about this, the younger woman, is she wore this thing over her head all the time, like it looked like an old fashioned bathing cap, but just this tight piece of fabric across her head.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I was wondering, did she suffer from some sort of hair loss? I don't know. But anyway, they made a movie out of those two women that starred Jessica Lange as the older woman and Drew Barrymore as the younger one. And like I said, they're fine actresses. There's no question. But I think that's an impossible job that they were given. Why would you want to go see that movie when you have the documentary? You got to get the documentary. It's called Grey Gardens. It was made by those two brothers. I don't know what their name is. Who made...
They did the one about the Hells Angels at Altamont.
Yeah, they did the Gimme Shelter, the Rolling Stones concert at Altamont. All right. Phil Hendry Show, produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft. Don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. All right, we're all done with looking at the mansions here. God, man, I forgot we had that thing there. philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. Don't forget to hit the shop. I know that it's too late to get it mailed in time for Christmas, but hey, you know, I mean, you can probably get something out to them a little bit afterwards. So, till tonight... We'll see you guys later. Have a very, very good day. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Some great news to report in the coming months, coming days, as a matter of fact, so stay tuned.
Phil Hendry.